If you have your Bibles, hopefully you've got them open to Galatians chapter 3, and I'm just going to tell you today's a mouthful. There's a lot going on in this passage. You heard 22 verses. I'm not going to be able to walk through all 22 of those verses step by step, but we are going to take a time and we're going to camp out in a couple of places here that I think are really, really important. Today, my task is I want to organize what we're going to spend the next few moments on with three thoughts. I want to talk to you about covenant. What does covenant mean as Paul talked about it right here? I want to talk to you about what does the curse mean, because he used that word several times in this passage. And I want to look at what does covenant, what does curse, but he also ends with a cross. He ends pointing us towards hope today. And so I want us to begin to see and organize. So let's talk a little bit about covenant, if you don't mind, for just a few moments. I'm not going to walk through verses 1 through 5. There's a couple of things that I want to point out because I want to show you some things on the back end here. A couple of things I want you to see. Notice what Paul says on the very beginning here in verse 1. In verse 1, he says, he says, "Oh, you foolish Galatians." One translator, J.B. Phillips, his translation of this is "you idiots." Paul's speaking to, now I want to make sure you hear me say this, he's speaking to believers. He's talking to the Galatians. In fact, he even says in here, I don't know if you heard Brianna, she read a portion in here where he talked about this in verse 4. "Did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain." He's not saying they're not believers. He's saying, listen, if you're not careful, you foolish Galatians, you're being bewitched, he says. Did you notice that in verse 1? He says, you're being bewitched. What he is saying here, in fact, the word there could also be charmed. You're being charmed. You've fallen under the spell. He's not saying that the Judaizers, we're going to dissect that word in just a few moments. He's not saying that the Judaizers themselves were demons. He's saying, though, that the thought of them, what they're leading you to, is a demonic thought to lead you back to slavery, back to sin, back to being tied to the works of the law. He's wanting them to see that, listen, you're falling under a thought. You're listening to people who aren't telling you the truth of the scripture. He says, don't be fooled. Don't be foolish. Don't fall under their charm. Don't fall under their spell. Notice, though, in verse 2 and 5, I want you to look at it. I want you to be able to see it there. In verse 2 and verse 5, he contrasts two phrases. He uses these two phrases twice. He contrasts the works of the law and then hearing with faith. He says, listen, Christ was publicly portrayed before you as crucified. He says, Christ was publicly portrayed before you as crucified. He said, did you understand that by the works you were doing, or was it by the hearing of faith? Now, this you should be asking this question. Wait a minute. The Galatians, they're in Galatia. They're up in modern-day Turkey, Jerusalem, hundreds of miles away. They were not there when Jesus was put on a cross. So how was Jesus publicly displayed? Well, what he is saying to you by these two phrases, specifically hearing by faith, is he's talking about the primary task that Paul took of preaching the gospel to them. Paul came and he preached the gospel to them. He preached to them about who Christ is, that Christ has been crucified. He didn't do it by reading his message, of which there's nothing wrong with reading your message. There's many old-time pastors of days gone by who would read their messages. He is talking about it, that he came to them in passion. He came to them and he publicly exhorted them. He called them that Jesus Christ laid his life down for you by faith. He stood in your stead, Galatians. What you could not do, he did. And I would tell you today also, I want to say this to you. If you're in this room today, Cheryl's testimony, her story is my testimony and your testimony. And what I want to do today is to publicly proclaim to you passionately that you do not have to struggle any longer. You don't have to strive. You can come as you are, and Christ, by faith, will save you. This is what he's trying to communicate with them right there. He says, you didn't do this by works of the law. You saw Christ publicly proclaimed in the preaching of his word, and you, by faith, by what you heard, you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's how all of us got saved in here. All of us heard the preached word. You surrendered your life to Jesus Christ because he opened your eyes. And the very fact that you then could respond is because he had already put faith in you so that you could respond to the word. This is what Paul has said. This is what he has preached. This is what is said all throughout the text. And then what he does in verse 6, and I want you to look at verse 6, he connects what happened to the Galatians to Abraham. Notice what he says in verse 6. In fact, let me back up. Look at verse 5 so you can get the full thought. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing of the faith, hearing with faith, just as Abraham heard by faith the word of God, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. What he's talking about here is the covenant that God made with Abraham. Some of you may be going, what do you mean a covenant? Well, when a man and a woman come together, they are joined together, a husband and wife, they are making a covenant one with another that they are promising to do something. A covenant in the Bible is a promise that God makes with his people that is based on him, that he never will leave, he never will falter, his promises will not fail. His covenants, he will remain true to. That's what a covenant is. And all throughout Scripture, there are five major covenants. I can't go through all of them. There was the covenant with Noah, the covenant with Abraham. There's the covenant with Moses. There's the covenant with David. And then there's the new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. What he's doing here is he's reminding them, he's about to remind them when he brings up Abraham, that there's a covenant that God made with Abraham prior to Moses. You see, these Judaizers, these folks who were saying, listen, if you really want to follow Jesus Christ, you can have faith in him, but you've got to also become a Jew. You've got to make marks in your flesh, circumcision. You have to keep the feast days. You've got to keep the festivals. You've got to do all of these things. You've got to obey the law in addition to following Jesus Christ. And what Paul is saying to the Galatians here is that, no. Remember, Paul is one of these guys that when he's trying to make an argument and he's wanting you to understand something, he stacks argument on top of argument on top of argument, defense on top of defense on top of defense. This is why he is repeating so many things. This is why for the fifth week in a row, Paul is saying to us, it's only by faith. You see, what you're trying to do, Galatians, you Galatians, these Judaizers, they're wanting to bring you into following Christ with the Mosaic covenant. No. There was a covenant long before Moses. In fact, I don't know if you read that. I believe it was in verse 18. There was a covenant that happened for Moses, 430 years prior to Moses. There was a covenant with Abraham that God made. So let's talk about that for just a moment. If you've got a piece of paper and a pen, or you listen fast, however, you can go back and follow this. I want to give you some passages that I want you to see because they're very important for you to understand how this is by faith alone. Look at verse 7 of chapter 3 there. Paul's writing, he says, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles, those who weren't Jews, he would justify the Gentiles by faith. He preached the gospel beforehand, the good news. He preached the good news beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. In Genesis chapter 12, if you want to turn back to Genesis real quick, or just hold your point right there somewhere. In Genesis chapter 12, God calls a man named Abram who was in a country called, out in a city called Haran. He called him and he said, I want you to go to a land that I'm going to tell you about. It's going to be a promised land. It's going to be a land called Canaan. And there, all of your seed, your children, your progeny from here on out, they're going to be multiplied. You're going to have all of these children. They're going to be as numerous as the stars of the sky. They're going to be as numerous as the dust of the ground. And Abram, this is going to be you. And Abram believed God, and he got up and he left. He started heading to the place that he was called to go. If you were to skip forward there, three chapters, and by the way, in Genesis chapter 12, Abram is 75 years old. He is 75 years old. I don't know if we have many 75-year-olds in here, but if you're somewhere in that age, listen, we got some 50-year-olds in here, and the Lord God says, pick up and go. And he went. He obeyed the command. In Genesis 15, it is around 10 years later. He's 85 years old. He's gone. He says, God, where's my kids? Where are all my children you told me that are going to happen? What? I've only got one heir. His name is Eleazar. He's of Damascus. He's a servant. Everything I own is going to go to him. What's up? And God says, hang on. And he reminds and he says, I've told you that your kids are going to be as numerous as the star, as many as the dust of the earth, and I'm going to do this. In fact, Abram, I'm going to make a covenant with you. The Lord God put him to sleep. Well, prior to putting him to sleep, he had him go get all of these animals and to bring these animals and to cut these animals. Because in the day of the Old Testament, when there was a covenant that was made, a promise that was made between two parties, you would split an animal and then they would walk through the animal. So some of the blood would get on them. Sounds kind of gory, doesn't it? That's the way a covenant was made, was by bloodshed. He did that. The Lord God put him to sleep. And then you know what the Lord God did in Genesis 15? In Genesis 15, the Lord God himself marched through the animals, and he said, Abram, this covenant is not going to be based on anything you do. It's going to be based on everything I do. It's going to be by me. It's not on you. It is on me. And in Genesis 15, 6, look at Genesis 15, 6. In fact, Genesis 15, 6 says that Abram believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Counted. That's an accounting term. That means his debt was wiped away. Now, I'm going to stop here for just a few moments. And I want to make sure I can see most everybody in here for a second. I want you to hear this. Abram was saved by his faith. He believed God. He was not saved by his faithfulness. If you're listening to me right now, just shake your head. It was by his faith. That means he believed God. It wasn't what he went and did. He believed him. So I want to say to you, in here today, you're trying to do... All of us, we try to do all kinds of things. We try to do the right things. We try to keep from doing the wrong things. We try to say the right things. We try to keep from saying the wrong things. We want to go to the right places. I want to do the right things. I need you to hear me. All the things that you're like Paul stacking up arguments to say, God, listen, look at me. I love you. I deserve. I need you to hear. There's nothing we can do. It is by faith alone in Jesus Christ that we're saved. That should bring a freedom to us. Because you know why? Because if you by faith have received Jesus Christ, your life has been changed. That even means that what you do afterwards, he doesn't love you more, he doesn't love you less. Some of you today, you're thinking God could never love me. Your testimony is like Cheryl. I've got this addiction. I've got this depression. I've got... this financial thing, I'm not a honor roll, I haven't been in the right, whatever it is, I need you to hear me. Jesus loves you as you are. He sent his one and only son to die for you. To die for you. So that right now, some of you are being what I would call stirred in your spirit. And that is God placing faith in you. And do you know what he's calling you to do? To respond in obedience now. And you know what the scripture tells us? That when we do that, we become Abraham's children. Why? Because just as Abraham believed in faith, and we believe in faith, we become children of Abraham. This is what Paul is, this is the argument that Paul's making to the Galatians. Don't be fooled. Listen, you're listening to people who are tickling your ears. They're saying all the right things. You're listening to this philosophy. You're listening to this theology. You're listening to this methodology. And you're thinking, if I just do this, you're running from what you know. You're going, I'm not running anywhere. Well, by the fact that you're not sitting long enough to hear the Spirit of God listen to you, speak to you so that you can hear and respond in faith. Because here's what I know. In this room today, the Lord Jesus is speaking to you. Where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there. And his word will not return void. That means it will always accomplish what it's been sent to do. This is what he's trying to get us to see. That in chapter 15 of Genesis, that Abraham believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, just so that you don't, if you need this, I want to say this. After you believe and it is credited to you as righteousness, there you need to be faithful to what it is that God has called you to. You don't go do all of these other things so that you can earn your salvation. You do all of these other things because you have been given the gift of salvation. Now we become faithful because we've been given faith. And now we live faithfully. But notice this. That was in Genesis 15. Now, I want you to see this in Genesis 17. In Genesis 17, he is 99 years old. So he was called at 75, given a promise. In chapter 15, at 85, the Lord God said, listen, it's going to be counted to you as righteousness. In chapter 17, at 99, he is given the sign of circumcision. Men, at the age of 99, Abraham had to circumcise himself. Ladies, only a lady's laughing at that. I just want you to know that. Only at 99. You see, what the Judaizers were telling the Galatians is this, is they were trying to get an entry point into the covenant, into a covenant relationship with God by going through Moses, obeying the law. And he says, listen, he was credited to him as righteousness like 14 years prior. It's always been by faith. It's always been by faith. Always has it been by faith. So now then what Paul does is he's going to move to the curse. Paul's going to move to the curse. Look at verses 10 through 12. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. You see, now what's happening here is these Judaizers are saying, and I want to, this is a repetition because I don't want you to miss this, is that, listen, you can come to Jesus, but you have to add to Jesus the law. They're basically saying, listen, to be a part of Jesus' family, you've got to start with the Mosaic covenant, with the covenant that God made with Moses 430 years after Abraham, which was by faith. And by the way, they're saying, by the way, Galatians, circumcision is how you enter the faith. No. Circumcision was a sign that you had already been saved, that you were already in a right relationship with God. That's why when we baptize people, baptism is a sign that something has already happened. Baptism and water does not save you. It is your faith in Jesus Christ alone, which the Lord God gives you. And then you are baptized as a sign that my life has changed. I'm different today. I follow him. They were given circumcision under the Mosaic law to show that I am a Jew. And they were saying, listen, the only way that you can be a right Jew is by being circumcised and following the law. But do you know what Paul says in verse 10? He says, all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. What does it mean to be under a curse? In fact, he says later that the curse of the law. Now, some of you, please stick with me here. Please stick with me here. I know this is getting deep in here, but this is very important. Do you know what the curse of the law? The law itself is not a curse. The scripture tells us everywhere that the law is good because it becomes, we're going to see, our tutor, our guardian, to help us know that we can't fulfill it on our own. So the curse of the law is the fact that we can't do it. I'm under a curse because I can't measure up. I can't live up. So why did God give the law? The reason God gave the law is so that when they left out of Egypt and they're traveling along in the book of Exodus, God wanted to dwell with his people. You remember the camp? Remember the tabernacle? The place where God's presence would reside so that now he could live among his people. So that now when you sin, there are sacrifices, blood sacrifices that could be made so that we could have a right relationship. Yet God himself knew they're never going to be able to keep this up. Do you know why they would never keep it up? Because the law was meant, the sacrifices were meant to point us to a greater law fulfiller, a greater sacrifice, one who is by Jesus. Do you want to know how much the law was even by faith? Is that, can you imagine if you were told, listen, whatever you've done, you have to bring a bull, a lamb, a turtle dove, and so you decide, this is what I've been told. So by faith, what do? You go buy the turtle dove and you bring it. And you say, here, priest, this is what I was told. And by faith, I'm giving this to you. I'm going to bring it because this is what it is. But do you know what Moses told the people when he gave the law? He says, listen, you're not going to be able to keep it. And when you don't keep it, you're going to go into exile. And so here these Judaizers are wanting to chain them back to a law they could not keep. Folks, listen, some of you in here, you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, and you're and as Paul says in this passage, you've been saved by faith, but now then you want to try to go back to the law to start living out law. You've been saved by faith, and can I give enough money? Can I serve enough time? Can I go on this mission trip? I need to reiterate, you can do nothing for your faith. Once you've received Christ, once you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and he is now your Savior, you can't jump high enough because you don't have to jump high enough. You can't pay enough money. You can't pay it back. We receive it. Christ tells us here, became the curse. 2 Corinthians 5 says that he made him who knew no sin to become sin so that you and I might receive the righteousness of God. Meaning, Jesus, the sinless Son of God who came to earth, who lived perfectly the Ten Commandments. He lived the law. He didn't need the sacrifices because he perfectly obeyed the moral code. He didn't have to obey the ceremonial law because he never broke the moral law. He lived perfectly. The one who he came to his own and his own said, we don't want you because you threaten us. They didn't see that these covenants pointed to one who would come, who would fulfill all righteousness so they would not have to perform ever again. Never again. Guys, right now you may be thinking, man, this is freedom for you and me. This is freedom that we don't have to perform. We don't have to do all the right things. We're no longer held accountable. You know why? Because Jesus became the curse on the cross for us. He who knew no sin became sin. You know what Paul says, though? Look at these passages. I want you to see this. In verse 10, Paul quotes Deuteronomy 27, 26, and he says this, if you're going to live by the law, then you have to live by the whole law, and if you can't do that, you're cursed. Why? Because you can't meet the law. Not only that, he says in Leviticus 18, he says if you're going to claim the Mosaic law, then you have to live by it perfectly. Perfectly. All of this seems so hopeless, doesn't it? It's so hopeless. Yet he's speaking to people who should have all kinds of hope because they've been set free by faith. Yet they're trying to go back to an old works-based salvation. And he says, but here's the thing. Notice he's going to drop a ray of light in here. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, Paul says, now it is evident that no one is justified, made right, declared righteous before God by the law. For, and these are in quotations because it's a quote, the righteous shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. That's out of the ever-present, the most studied book in all the Old Testament, Habakkuk. You did catch that. We don't spend a whole lot of time in Habakkuk, Habakkuk 2:4. And the reason that Paul brings this is because he wants us to be clear. He wants us to understand. He wants the Galatians to know it is only by faith in God. It's only by faith in Christ. It's always been about faith. The righteous shall live by faith alone. And you know what Paul does now is he turns his attention to the cross. Paul turns his attention to the cross. Look with me in verse 13. Verse 13, and I'm going to read a couple of verses here. In verse 13, he says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. We talked about that just a moment ago. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. He closes this section by making sure that we understand that Jesus became our curse and that he hung on a tree. In fact, he says, he quotes a passage in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Look, physically, literally, when you would see people hanged on a tree, whether it was hanged from a branch by the neck on a tree, whether it was hanged by the gallows, whether it was hanged as the Babylonians did by a spike that they would impel you on and you would be hanged there, the reason you were hanged is because you couldn't obey. You didn't follow the king's laws. You didn't do the right thing. And your punishment was you would be hanged. So therefore, you would be hung on a cross so that publicly everyone would see and they would say, that's a curse. That's a curse. The wrath of the king has fallen on that one. And the scripture tells us, Paul says, listen, our king, Jesus, he came and he hung on the cross for us. He became the curse. The one who knew no sin became sin. The one who gave us now our faith, who credited us as righteousness because we have faith in Jesus, where my debt has been paid. If you've surrendered your life to Christ, your debt has been paid. If you right now are pre-conversion, that means you've not surrendered your life to Christ, but today you're going to surrender your life to Christ. Do you realize that God loved you so much that while you were still in sin, God demonstrated his love for you, that he sent Jesus to die on a cross for you, to absorb the wrath of God, to absorb the wrath of God. His, and we don't like to talk about that, but sin has a payment that we could never pay. And he sent his son. He became the curse so that I'm no longer cursed. He goes on down into verse 17. In verse 17, he says, this is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years after, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God, so as to make the promise void. What he's saying here is this. You have to go back to Abraham before you get to Moses. And then from Moses, you go to David. You know what the covenant with David was? Is that there would be a king, one who would sit from David's throne, from David's line, there'd be an eternal king who would always sit on the throne of God, pointing towards the offspring of Abraham, who is Christ, this passage says. Listen, do you know what is trying to be communicated here in all of this? You're free. Galatians, you're free. Riverdalians, you're free. You're free. Do you know why you're free? It's not because of your works. It's not because you said the right thing. It's not because you think the right thing. You're free
because the Lord God had given you faith, and you've responded to that faith, and you've believed. The reason you could even believe is because he gave you the faith. And now you begin to walk that out. And I need you to hear this. Today in this room, there are some of you, you are so far, well, I say you're so far, you think you're so far away. Do you know how close you are, though? No matter what you think, no matter the wall you feel like you've built up, no matter how high you feel it is, no matter how deep you think your debt is, no matter how deep you think the pit is, do you know how close you are? It's a turn, and he's there. The pit you're in, he's there with you to lift you out of it and set your feet on a rock. The debt you think you could never pay, Jesus paid it all. And you know how you get through that? You know how you receive that? By faith. Do you know what Paul's wanting us to see is that it's always been about Jesus and that the scripture, look at verse 22. Verse 22 says, but the scripture imprisoned everything under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. And I need to tell you today that everything that we have today is because of God. All the faith that we have today is because he's given it to us. And why did he give it to us? So that we might glorify his son, Jesus. Why did he give a covenant to Noah? Because the ark that allowed Noah and his family to escape the wrath of God, Jesus is our way of escaping the coming judgment because of the wrath of God. Why did he give a covenant to Abraham? So that it would point to Jesus as the promised offspring. So that we might have an example that because Abraham believed in faith and it was credited to him, when we believe in faith, it is credited to us as righteousness. Why did he give a covenant to Moses, this covenant of law? So that it would point us, it would guard us, it would tutor us, that we could not do it, and it would take one who could perfectly fulfill the law. Jesus, who fulfilled it. Why did he give King David, a covenant to point to the fact that there's going to be an eternal king named Jesus who would lay his life down, who would take it up again, who would be at the right hand of God, who would reign forever? Why is there a new covenant in Jesus? Because he fulfilled all the other covenants. In Christ, he became our curse. He became the curse. He lived a life we couldn't live, died a death we could never die, rose again, seated today, and he calls you. He calls you. In Genesis chapter 12, God said, Abraham, through you, all the nations are going to be blessed. Do you realize that's us? Every nation, every tribe, every tongue. Do you know how we're blessed? By faith in Christ. And today, he calls you today. He's stirring in you, in your spirit. Let's pray together. Lord, I'm asking you today, would you please call people to life in Jesus? Would you call them to surrender their life? Would you call them to respond in obedience to the faith you've placed in them? Today, Father, if there are those in here who have no hope or they're trusting in false hope, would you please speak to them? Something that only you can do. I pray that you take the feeble words that I've tried to speak. I pray that you would take the words that we've sung today. The community in the hallway. Would you take that Would you use all of that for your glory's sake? Encourage us. Set people free today. And it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things. Amen. I'm going to ask that you stand all over. Y'all go ahead and stand up.